What we do here is go back.
Yeah, good mate. Thanks for having me.
The halfway up socks.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do them too high. You know,
fucking absolutely full.
When you're younger, you always have dreams and you always think, oh yeah, I want to play AFL. But realistically, like, especially when I started getting a bit older, I didn't actually think it was something that could come through.
Did you kick 0-11 a few years back at North Beach?
Yeah, I might have.
I need to get uncomfortable to be comfortable, and I think I need to be somewhere else to develop my football. Like, I just don't think I can stay here and grow as a player and grow as a person.
How many times have you watched yourself either hitting the winning runs or that last over?
Oh God, I think only about 300.
No, I actually re-looked at the story he was posted to look at his jersey number in case that was a question.
Really? So you did study?
Yes, well, that was the only thing.
Yeah, right. Do you want to go for another half an hour and give us the last question?
Yes, welcome back to the Bray and Ethan podcast. The first episode of March, on the 1st of March.
Summer's over.
Summer is over. Episode 113. And of course, it's all thanks to Skinbro. Use code Bray and Ethan 20 for 20% off at www.skinbro.com. The essentials kit is only $54.99. Absolute bargain. Hatlocker, use code Bray and Ethan 20 again. Same code for 20% off at hatlocker.com.au. And of course, Cheetah Clothing. We've both got our new shirts on.
Again.
We did not plan it, but we've both got our new shirts on. So it does look very nice, Ethan.
It does. Extremely excited to have this man on. He's been on our radar for months. We aren't just bandwagging on back of the World Cup. We can promise that we sent the message in November from memory, but we're glad we waited because he's a World Cup hero. Marley Beardman, welcome.
Thanks for having me, lads. Appreciate it.
Has it sunk in yet? The last month or so, what you've been able to achieve or not, because you've been straight back into training, adding another medal around your neck this week. So has it sunk in or haven't had much time to reflect?
Sunk in a little bit. I think the World Cup started to sink in when I came home, and we landed in Sydney and had about 30 or 40 random people at the airport with giant inflatable kangaroos. So I think that's when it sunk in a little bit. But the Marsh Cup hasn't really sunk in because I didn't do a lot there. I just ran drinks and then got given a medal. So I think that's been incredible. And for those boys to have that sort of dynasty over the last few years, I think is a credit to them.
Hey,
so,
running drinks, ain't you are doing something. It's hard work.
Yeah, well, there's multiple people that have said it's a different skill to running drinks and
it is.
Bringing the gloves out.
It is. It's a different skill. Depends on who's batting, though.
Yeah.
Depends. If you've got someone who's good with his gloves, it's pretty easy. But you got a few lads who change their gloves every 5 minutes, so got to be pretty switched on.
Well, if you're doing it for the Australian test side then and Smudge is out there for a while, then
good luck.
You're probably going out every 15 minutes.
Unfortunately, I've had to do that a couple
have
of
you?
Times. Yeah. We had, I don't know who it was run by, but Cricket Australia had like a few young boys come and help out. I did it against, the first one would have been the Windies, and then did the most recent one against Pakistan.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was pretty interesting. I was doing it with Corey Worsley too, who hates to run gloves as well. So I was running most of the gloves. Good to sit on the sidelines. I had Greeny and Lance there as well, so I was not too uncomfortable. But yeah, Smudges every bout. I reckon every 5 to 7 overs changes his gloves. So does it. He does it last ball too. Of course, he doesn't give you any time. So he waits to the fifth ball and then does a little hand signal. You got to sprint out there. But nah, he's not too bad.
Well, while we've already mentioned the World Cup, we've seen heaps of vision, mainly through the ICC page and I guess Cricket Australia. But the celebrations afterwards, there was lots of waters and cokes in hands of everyone in the squad. So what was the go there? And I guess was. What's the drinking age in South Africa? Would that be a reason?
No drinking age. I think it was just 18, but we didn't know. We weren't allowed to go out at all, obviously, because it's pretty dangerous. So we asked our security guard, Lucky, who's one of the great men, and he was pretty keen on getting us out, but the coaches and everyone else was pretty against it. But we just had a big team room, just pumped some tunes in the team room, and then obviously got a few waters and orange juices into the team room. And
solid.
I was going to say, if you're not just drinking Cokes and water by choice, unless, you won a final. You
100%. Yeah, it was a pretty large couple of days. But
is there a couple under 18?
Yeah, we had two.
I thought that could be a reason because, full squad was there. But
it would have been fine. We had Oliver Peak and Aidan O'Connor, who were both 17, so... If we were all over 18, they would have said publicly it's fine. I don't know, because it's an underage comp too, but I think they would have been a lot more chilled about it. But it was just, don't put anything on social media and be careful where you walk around with a beer if you do have one in your hand.
Yeah, well, Freed from Desire was pumping.
That's a tradition now for Australian cricket whenever
World Cup is absolute won. Tune. It was one of the first to go on. So
Were you best off ground as well as on ground? Who? How are the celebrations?
I don't know. I reckon that it was actually probably five or six of us that kicked on pretty well for a couple of days, which was a good effort. But I reckon about half the team went to bed after the first night and was like, they were done, they were cooked. And then a few of us were like, it's not every day you're going to win a World Cup. So had to kick on.
And it would have been a long couple of weeks as well, because you know, you guys have probably never played that many 50 over games in a short period of time. So it would have been pretty
tough. Yeah, it was big. England before that would have been probably the closest to that. But we're saying that the World Cup probably felt shorter than that England tour, just because it was playing the same team over and over again. Mm. So after we played the first few games and we like got a hold of England and understood how they're playing and what's going on, there wasn't really a lot more to research on or to pick up on. Whereas like World Cup, it was all right, new team. You go from Namibia to bloody the West Indies to England, and then you're playing India and Pakistan. Yeah. Like it was changing and chopping so much, and each team's so different. So I think, it was just research, train hard, and then get that out of the way and then move on again. So it probably the tour felt shorter than what it was. But, it was like close to 6 weeks, I think, in the end, long which is time. Bloody long time.
You'd hope you like your teammates to be around them for that amount of time. Yeah. Like, what did you do outside of cricket to fill in time? Did you sort of get to explore much of South Africa? Or
we were stuck in Kimberley for like 2 weeks, so there's not much to do there. But we had the thing called the Big Hole in Kimberley, which is like an old diamond mine, and we were staying on the diamond mine. So got to go and do tours there. Did a safari at the Lion Park, which was bloody sick. And then besides that, it was just like we stayed in Benoni, just out of Benoni, in Joburg, which was just shopping centres and Mandela Mall and all those places. Yeah. But it was pretty hard, to be honest, to keep busy, because it's like if we went to go, I don't know, went to grab a coffee downstairs, you'd have to take security guard with you. Like they were big on making sure that we were safe. So yeah, there was not a lot to do. A lot of YouTube. Me and Harry Dixon were rooming together, and he had his PS5 set up. So I absolutely suck at consoles or Xbox or any PS5. So I was just sitting there watching him play FIFA. But it was I don't know how like good it was, but he lost his chops when he unboxed Mbappe. He unboxed Mbappe while we were in the hotel room, and it took about 3 days to get over it. It was bloody off his head.
Golf.
No golf. The boys played, I suck at golf too, so the boys played two games, I reckon, while we were there.
So there was a bit of golf. A
little bit, here and there. They went to a golf simulator, I think, which would have been all right, but all those other boys, there's about five or six of them that are bloody good golfers, and then there's a whole bunch of us that suck, so we stayed away from the boys that play well.
Yeah, well, you personally ripped many stumps out of the ground for that tournament, so how did you see the tournament overall, and I guess the feeling of contributing when it mattered most?
Yeah, I think it was unreal. I think our whole bowling attack in general was just like we got along so well on and off the field. So that made it pretty easy. I mean, anytime either of us would miss out on a game, we'd be bloody distraught. It was sort of like the bowlers versus the batsmen in a way amongst our own group. But yeah, the cartel, as we call ourselves, it was unreal to bowl alongside them. And I think it was someone different each game. Like Cow stood up early on in the tournament and took a lot of poles. And then Strakes obviously had that game, retook six for. And then I was just trying to contribute when I could just help out. Yeah, I think one team made over 200 against us the whole tournament, so I think that shows.
So did you guys rotate so all of you missed one game? Was that?
Cal was sick for one game, so he missed about 15 minutes before the first ball. He was like, I'm not going to make it, Mark. You're going to open the bowling. I was like, cheers, mate.
Cheers for the
thanks for that. Thanks for the heads up. But no, he had like gastro sort of thing, which ran through the team. Yep. And then I rested one, and then everyone else just rested one, try and stay fresh, and I think we had enough overs between. We had so many bowlers too, like Aidan O'Connor, he's a bloody handy bowler in himself, and he didn't play. I think he played one game against Zimbabwe, where he took like two for bugger all, which shows how much depth we had. But I think we just rotated. That was the coach's plan, just rotate to like through, try keep as fresh as we can, and then just attack each game and bowl quick and aggressive.
Are you doing much research on these, I guess, lesser known countries like Zimbabwe and Namibia. Stuff? Like,
there's nothing you can do. Yeah. We talked about it too. We're like, because obviously you want to, like, if there's a batsman that's doing something abnormal, we'd love to try and do some research on him. But you hop on AMS or you hop on YouTube or like anything and try and search up these players and they don't exist. So it was bloody hard to do research on Namibia or Zimbabwe or those players. Like, I think it was just what we spoke about was just rock up to the game, assess the conditions, assess the wicket, assess the player, and then from there just talk amongst each other and try and come up with a plan of attack like on the spot, because I mean there's not much you can do when you don't have any video.
And following suit of the men's World Cup, I heard Travis Head on Tommy Talk say that the comments and messages he received as a player of the final were just through the roof. I imagine breaking millions of Indians' hearts have blown up the DMs personally a bit for you. A
little bit, yeah. I wasn't too bad. I was lucky. I didn't get too hosed on the DMs, but there was a few boys that got some death threats and all sorts of stuff in the DMs. Yeah, they were pretty passionate about their cricket, as everyone knows the Indians. So I think that was they were pretty distraught, especially after the Men's World Cup. I think that was just the icing on the cake for them. So there was a lot of emotions in a lot of the boys' DMs.
Yeah. After what? Like the ICC, the Test Championship final, the World Cup. Mm-hmm. I think the women's also beat them recently, and then you guys.
So. Yeah, so I think that was them done. I think they unleashed on a few of the boys. Charlie Anderson, his DMs are pretty bloody funny. We're having a read through there. And I don't know, a lot of them don't speak. A lot of the comments weren't English either, so that you'd have to hop on the old Google Translate and you translate it over and have a good chuckle to yourself on the bus on the way to the game.
But there would be a bit of love for you though as well, I would imagine. Like, not all hate, surely.
No, a lot of love, yeah. There was a lot of the Pakistan like supporters as well, especially in that after the semi-final loss in the final. I think they were going for us. It seemed to be a lot of love from them. And then there was heaps.
Like, they definitely don't want to see India win.
No, they don't. Yeah. They definitely don't. So there was a lot of support from them. Yeah. And then, just from random people, like, you go into your DM requests and there'd be like 40, 50 DMs from just like random people who love cricket just saying, well done, congratulations, go well for the final, a whole bunch of stuff, which is bloody good to see.
I reckon we said congrats to you a fair few times. Yeah. I'm glad we reached out before because don't want to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, we would have been lost in the DMs after what we're hearing now.
No, you did say that. You said that in a message, I reckon. It was the most times you say congratulations. And I was like, I only did one of those. The other medal was just running drinks, but still take the congratulations.
Yeah.
Well, talk about that Pakistan game. How were the nerves in that game? Because when you got out, it was just the last two to get you home.
That was possibly the most depressed I've ever been on a cricket field when I was batting, when I missed that straight one. I couldn't believe it. I was saying to the boys too, I'd done I don't know how many hours of work in the nets, like making sure that I used to have a stupid trigger of triggering away from the ball and exposing my middle and off stump, which all the boys who are going to be listening to this are going to start cracking up laughing about. And I went out there and I was like, I'm going to make sure I'm not going to trigger away. And second ball stepped away and missed one on off stump. So I came off pretty bloody angry. And I honestly hadn't seen a lot of cow bat. I knew that he could like block it, but I don't know, with the pressure. Pressure does weird things to people. Yeah. So I was a little bit worried there. I think that's the most nervous team I've ever seen. We're all just sitting there. We made sure, I went up to hop up and grab a drink of water and all the boys were screaming at me, sit back down, you can't move, superstition. So, that was a bloody nerve-wracking and so glad we got it done, especially the chop on to get it done too. I didn't realise how close it was at the time. We just saw it run down a fine leg. And the funny thing is too, they were so far behind the over rate that they had to bring fine leg up. Otherwise, that would have been just a single. So there would have been another three or two or three needed to win. So, it was just the perfect storm, really. Like, behind over eight, had to bring fine leg up and then manages to inside edge one over middle and leg and run down the fine leg for four.
There's a bit of a tradition. We were talking about tradition in India, Australia in a final. There's a Pakistan losing to Australia in a semi tradition in the T20 World Cup. I remember was it Wade and Stoinis got us over the line.
Yeah.
And then remember Mike Hussey as well,
because
they were comparing that. But what about in the final? Because obviously the last two Indian batsmen, they got it down to under 100, under 90.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was staying up to date at 11 o'clock on a Sunday night thinking, surely not.
Yeah. I was pretty nervous too because I reckon I started that number 10 to dig in a little bit because I bowled a bouncer that went over his head and then pointed his head and told him I was coming for him. So, and then from then on, he told me to nick off back to my mark. And then next ball was just nicked his thigh pad and went down for four to fine leg. And then he's scratched middle and turned around. And then next over went 6-4. And then over after that went 4 again. And I was I hope I haven't poked the bear here and stirred something up. But I think we're pretty confident that it was going to happen. I think when someone comes that hard, it's just a matter of time before one goes up in the air. So
I think I messaged Bray. I was Marley Bidwin's my dad. He just won us the World Cup final.
Yeah, it was unreal. You did. I can remember that.
It was so good.
We don't like stitching guests up too much, but I think your Cricket Australia portrait photo has to be brought up. Did you ever? It's on there, Bray, if you want to click. Did you ever late night? The night before or something,
no,
sleepy.
It's got to be one of the worst photos I've ever seen. My physio, Gus, the right, the whacker, messaged me and said, how's the South African kush going when he sent that in? So I was having a good laugh at that. But the most stupid thing is, too, out of about 15 photos. I have my eyes open in 14 of those, and they chose the one that I have my eyes closed in. So, I mean, there's not much I can do about it now. Oh, yeah. But it's pretty bloody hard.
Hopefully, they update it like as your career goes along with like a whacker one or whatever.
I don't even know. Hopefully, it does get updated. I got a feeling they might keep it there though. Yeah.
Well, hopefully next summer you'll get a new WA one, and
yeah, I hope
that'll
so.
Look way better.
I hope that gets replaced because that is absolutely horrid.
Oh boy. Well. In a way, talking about the media, they have loved your connection with Dennis Lilly. Mm-hmm. For those who haven't heard, tell us about how he became your mentor and what it's been like.
Long story with DK. I have a good, or one of my dad's best mates down south, Max Montgomery, and he's got a lovely property because I grew up down in Quarrum. So we spend a lot of time back down there. And I was peppering his bin on a gravel road down the side of the house as quick as I could because I was mid-injury. This is when I did my back. So I was coming back from that. And I probably wasn't supposed to be bowling, to be honest, but was so bored. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to get a tape ball and just pepper his bin down the side of the house. So I was bowling full tilt down the side of the house. And he saw me bowling. He has two houses. He has like his guest house and then a house up. And his house is up on the hill. And saw me bowling from up on the hill. And he's got a good mate, Rod Duggan, who I think, pretty well known. I actually didn't know at the time that Rob was known for his footy, but yeah, very well known figure and has some great connections, really like super close with DK. So yeah, Max messaged Rod and was like, I got a young quick here, a family friend, bowls pretty good cast, and he's peppering our bin down the side. He's left a whole bunch of marks on the bin and on the wall. And then Rod spoke to DK, like whatever it was about, a couple of weeks later and said, yeah, Max doesn't really speak about cricket that much, but reckons there's a kid that bowls pretty quick that he's seen. And then yeah, I was in like an under 14 squad or wherever I was at the time, so it was still like really early days. And Dennis had a rule that he doesn't like to work with people until that 16 or 17. So he said his idea was that once they developed their own action and their own style, he was happy to work with people, but when they were like 13 14, you're still trying to figure out how to bowl still, so he's not going to work with anyone until they have their own action and their own way of bowling. So I was like, oh, we're going to have to wait, buddy, 3 years until I get to work with DK then. So I was pretty annoyed. But then I don't know what changed
his mind. He made an exception.
Yeah, I don't know what changed his mind, but I would have been, I can 14, I was really young. And he said, all right, I'm happy to have a look at you now. I can go down to the South Perth Nets on the AstroTurf there and have a look. So walked down and met him in typical Dennis style in a pair of thongs and a T-shirt and some boardies. So I walked down to the Nets. Grabbed a ball and, yeah, had a bowl down there and just got along really well with him from there. And he was pretty happy, he said, with what he saw. So he said he was happy to start working with me from then on. So I reckon every couple of months I'll go down and have a net bowl with him, or I like won't go more than 2 or 3 weeks without calling him and just chatting through some stuff, which has been awesome because he's obviously such a great man and got so much knowledge and wisdom. So, yeah, just been feeding off him for the last, 4 or 5 years, which has been unbelievable.
And you spoke about sort of down south, Murrett River to then Aquinas in your junior days, as you said, bowling very fast, 130 plus as a 15-year-old, which obviously caught the eye of Melville. Can you pinpoint why or how you have such rapid pace? You've always had such rapid pace?
I don't know, really. I think like from young, I always had naturally quite a good arm. Like we used to have, this is a story in itself, we used to have a vortex throw at Quarrum Primary School, where you just like, line a bunch of boys up at inter-school or at our sports carnival and whoever could throw the vortex the furthest. And I remember breaking the school record in like year 4, year 5, whatever I was, throwing the vortex. So I naturally had like quite a good arm. And then I liked cricket, but I was a lot more footy and I loved boxing a lot when I was young. I was right into my other sports and cricket was just like backyard cricket and a bit of fun with Dad down at the Nets. So I didn't really take it too seriously. And then I would have been in year 3 or 4, I reckon, and I was down at the Quarrum Nets having a bowl and having a bat, and a great man, Bill Van Vliet, who had a fair bit to do with WA, played for Midland Guildford, took a lot of wickets for Midland Guildford, came down, and he was a bat maker, and he made me my first ever bat and put Kookaburra stickers on. It was actually quite a nice bat. I think I've still got it at home somewhere, and just said, yeah, keep doing your thing. I like what he was saying. He said, you're bowling good gas and running in hard. So as a young fella, he said, there's a bat for you. Just keep doing your stuff. And I was like, from then on, that sort of really sparked my love for cricket, I think. And, yeah, just started bowling from then on. But I think it's just I say it to people all the time. They ask, how do you do it? Or, like, is it a natural thing? Or is it something you can learn? I think it's just you have to have it from the start. I think it's one of those things you either have fast twitch fibers and can just throw the ball quick, or you don't. So
can't really work too hard on it.
Yeah, just think lucky with genetics and obviously just having good coaches from a young age that just managed to be able to for it to click. And yeah, I think when I'm bowling my best too, I'm not even really thinking about bowling quick. So I think that's just a lucky genetic thing.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you've drawn some comparisons to Pat Cummins. Thoughts? Agree? Disagree?
Oh, bloody, that's an honour in itself being compared to Pat. But yeah, I think I love to try and emulate him when I bowl. I think he's especially because I bowled a lot of first change in the World Cup, which was different for me. I'd always normally taken the new rock. So Cow obviously hoops it around corners, and Charlie Anderson swings it both ways just as far. So for me, it made more sense to bowl first change and just try and run in and bowl as quick as I could and be aggressive with an older ball that's easier to control. So I think, yeah, I looked back on a lot of Pat's spells, first change, and yeah, just tried to emulate smashing the top of off as much as I could and using my bumper regularly. Yeah. And yeah, just went back through a lot of his footage and like tried to plan and structure my overs the same as how he did, which I think he was a big inspiration for the World Cup. And I think moving forward, if I do get the honour to play in the WA in whatever level it is, I think I'm going to bowl first or second change a lot too. So I think moving forward, that's going to be something that I'm going to try and emulate a lot more is how Pat bowls.
How do you sort of handle expectations or comparisons, whether it's to Pat or someone else, probably not reading all the DMs, but, you know, how do you sort of stay grounded with what you've achieved? There's some big raps on you.
I think it's just like, I was talking the other day and I saw a quote when I was away in South Africa that pressure is a privilege. So I think that's like stayed with me a lot, that I'm just privileged to be in the position that I am, and that although it's under 19s Australia and I've still got a bloody long way to go before I'm anywhere in my cricketing journey. Yeah. So I think it's underage stuff. It's easy to get ahead of yourself, but I look at it and I'm like, I'm nowhere near a cemented spot in the WA side in itself. So that's a formidable side to break into. So I'm just looking at breaking into that. And then from there, I've got to perform at WA. And then from there, I've got to perform at a whole bunch of other levels before I get a chance to play at the top. So I think it's just being honest with myself and trying not to get too far ahead. I think also having mum and dad at home helps a lot, because they'll be the first to shoot me down pretty quick if I get an ego. So yeah, I think also I got a lot of friends as well that aren't into cricket. Like I'd say probably 80 or 90% of my mates have absolutely no idea about the sport. So I'll go home from a game, if I've done well or done bad or what, like however I've played, I'll go over to the boys' house and have a chat. They'll be like, how'd you go? Like, oh yeah, not bad, took like four, five, six wicks, however many, and they'll be like, is that good? Yeah. They're like, it's not too bad. Or I'll be like, nah, I took none for 100, and they'll be like, oh,
good? Did you score 100?
Yeah, you made 100? I'll be like, no, I got hit for 100. And they'll be like, oh, well, you got next game then? I'll be like, yeah. So I think having mates that don't care about it makes it a lot easier too, because they don't give a shit about whether I do well or not.
Yep. Well, JB, Josh Vernon, that is, and yourself have been pretty inseparable. We know you were texting him to see if he had a contract for this summer, as he said to us. But from your end, tell us about finding out that news that, I guess, creates your job now.
Yeah, I mean, when we first... I was actually in Lanceland on a boys' trip when I first got the call, and I was slightly under the influence when I got the call. So I was stressing when I was standing on top of the sand dune when I got the call from Cade, and I pulled over. I was like, boys, pull over on the side of the road. It's a call from like a pretty important person at the Wacker, so... Cade doesn't know this story yet, by the way, so I hope he doesn't see this. And climbed up the sand dune, and I was like, hey, Cade, how are you? He's like, yeah, good, mate. I was like, whereabouts are you? I'm like, oh, I'm just at Lanceland at the moment. He's like, oh, what are you doing up there? I was like, oh, nothing, just camping, you know, just with a few mates. So he's like, oh, what are you doing? I can't remember what day it was, but he was like, what's happening on Thursday for you? And I was like, oh, not much. He's like, you're going to have to come in and sign your new contract then. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, I had heard from people around the place that there was a possibility, but obviously you hear that much chatter coming from other people that you never actually believe it or think it's real. So yeah, when I got that call, I was like, holy Jesus, it's like, that's the start of the journey, I guess. So just got to take the opportunity with both hands and try and cement a spot and try and get a full contract later on, was my thought process. And then when I found out Josh got one too, I was like, oh, that's even better. I don't have to do anything by myself now. I've got someone my own age and someone that I know really well. Obviously, when I spent those couple of years up north, up in Dampier with him, I was like, all right, sweet. I know Josh really well now. So I've got someone else around the squad that is actually my own age as well that I get along well with.
Would it help settle into the professional environment?
Massively, yeah, definitely.
Especially with some of the names at WA Cricket.
Yeah, indeed. Well, You played some second 11 early on, but did you expect to debut at any level in your first season with a contract?
Definitely not. I think obviously how good and how deep our bowling lineup is, I was like, there's absolutely no chance I'm going to play here for a good couple of years, I think, until hopefully one of the boys lets me have a spot in the team, or if there's an unfortunate injury or something like that, I thought along the way that I might be able to slot in later on. But no, I mean, when I got called up into the squad, I was like, oh, sweet, that's just going to be a drinks job. And like, get some good experience around the group and around the boys and trying to get to know them a little bit better. But then when I got the call, V loved to hold off as long as he could too. I reckon it was about 9 o'clock the night before. And I was sitting there, and then I finally got a call from him, and I was like, oh, he's just going to be telling me I'm running drinks here. And then he's like, all right, we've picked you. You're in for tomorrow. And I was like, holy Jesus, I'm ready, but I don't know if I'm ready for this. This is going to be a serious step up. So, yeah, gave the old man a call. He shot over, flew over to Sydney and then out to Cricket Central and got to meet all the boys, which was awesome. And then did the cap presentation and everything, which was unbelievable. But, yeah, I think that's something that I'd envisioned and been working for and towards for a long time. So when it actually happens, it seems a little bit surreal. You don't actually know how to handle yourself or what to do. But, yeah, it was pretty incredible.
Well, they say you don't forget your first wicket. And it was described as the most bizarre dismissal you ever see on cricket.com.au. Yep. In your words, talk us through it. Mr. Spotify, calling your bunny.
No, I think Moses got himself out. I didn't have anything to do with that, which is just bloody unlucky Blake McDonald was standing in the way. But it was funny how it went of that. I was only supposed to come on for a short spell, and AT was just like, he said, happy with my last over. He's like, go and have another one then and see if you can't get one. I looked at him, I was like, all right, sweet, I'll try to get one now. So I had a few little balls before, I think, where I had like an inside edge that was a little bit shaky, and then had like a slash down towards third man that just fell short of third man. So I actually thought, I was like, there's a chance here, I've got him. Like, especially after my first spell, which I think I went for 18 off my second over, which I was like, I've settled into a little bit of a rhythm now. I'm not too uncomfortable. I reckon I've got a little bit of a gauge for the level that I'm at. So settled into that spell, and then I was like, all right, here we go. And then obviously bowled a half volley, and as it came out of the hand, I was like, oh, that's gone the journey. And smacked it straight back into the non-striker hand, and then straight to Hamish McKenzie at bloody mid-on. And I was like, that has got to be the most stupid first wicket ever in history.
No celebration whatsoever. You're just standing there like, what
is happening? I felt so sorry for him. I was like, that's the best you've hit a ball all day, and it's happened to get you out. So, yeah.
And they had to do the concussion test, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know. As I was walking back to my mark, they're doing a concussion test as he's walking off the field. I was like, that is so stiff. But I will take it.
Yeah.
Well, bit of deja vu heading back to Cricket Central for the final on top of the Taylor Swift flight dramas that you guys had. But how were the celebrations after the three-peat?
Yeah, really good. I don't know what the go with Sydney in a Sunday sesh is, but I found out that Sunday sesh isn't very big in Sydney. So
you're going to go to the North Coogee or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I asked around a few of the lads and they said Saturday night, Friday and Saturday is the go in Sydney. So we ended up just having like a team. I don't know. We went to some pub. I don't know where we were. We were in Chatswood, so I think a little bit out of the way. But yeah, went to some pub there and had drinks with the team and all the coaches and Christina and everyone, which was awesome.
Yep.
And then kicked on to an underground karaoke bar, cash only, which was an interesting experience in itself. Yeah, so ended up getting home pretty late there, and that next flight the next morning was pretty rough. But yeah, I think it's important to celebrate your success when you can. Yeah,
exactly. What even happened with the flight? So it was like half the squad had to go on a different flight, is that right?
Yeah, so they broke the squad up into two separate flights. So we had one earlier, I don't even know what time we flew out, but yeah, one in the morning and then one around midday. And one flew to Canberra and the other flew to Melbourne, and obviously because we couldn't get direct straight to Sydney because there was the Swifties everywhere, and then I found out about the WWE as well, I think, which was making it even harder. So yeah, they broke that up into two flights, and I was on the Melbourne flight, flew over to Melbourne, and then there was just panic stations at the airport. Qantas were in absolute shambles, so they were trying to rearrange and shuffle flights. There was flights getting cancelled, and lucky our flight got on. But I reckon we were sitting on the tarmac for a good 45 minutes to an hour before we took off. Like, we were sitting still for a long...
At Melbourne, that is?
Yeah, Melbourne, like just sitting there doing nothing, waiting for them. So they had to change over our air hostess. I don't know why, but one plane landed and they had to swap them over. They had to do a whole bunch of stuff, so... It's an absolute shit show, but somehow got to Sydney in the end.
And of course, like, it's a final, so they can't, WACO or Cricket Australia, whoever does all the flights, can't book them in advance because they don't know who's playing in a final. Yeah, and obviously, exactly. That final is being hosted in the city where arguably one of the biggest artists in the world is performing.
Yeah, and then we got in, checked our bags, everyone got their bags, and we're like, all right, sweet, ready to go. And then Flip was like, I don't have my kit bag. And we were like, no way. No way they've left one bag out. So he had his suitcase, but he didn't have his kit bag, was the only thing left. So we waited there for another 45 minutes, I reckon.
Jesus.
So ended up getting into the hotel at about 12:45 and ended up smashing a pizza. So got to bed at about 2 o'clock in the end and then woke up and trained the next morning.
Wow. Oh, yeah. And you mentioned you obviously hang out with people who aren't into cricket. So are you going to tell people, or have you told people who didn't watch the game but saw that you got a medal that you did play?
Nah, no chance. I'll happily tell them about drinks. The boys asked, like, did you get on? I was like, nah, didn't even feel. And I was 13th man. I sat on my ass for the whole day and ran drinks. But yeah, they don't really care anyways. They wouldn't really understand the difference. Most of the boys, they just see the medal. They're like, sweet, as you won.
Yeah. Sure, I know, obviously, there's not many opportunities left for cricket in WA this year, but you'd think the only thing you could probably achieve left is a Shield debut. The boy is actually playing as we speak. So what are the goals for the remainder of the season, off-season, etc.? Keen for a break?
Yeah, super keen for a break. I think it's awesome to be back in Perth again. It's been nice. Been away for however long I've been away for this year. I think it's been about half the year out of Perth. So, yeah, bloody nice to get back in the ocean, actually. Get back out diving and fishing again as soon as I got home. Went on a trip up to Wedge Island and went for a dive, went for a 4B, which is awesome with all the boys. But yeah, I think just for the rest of the year for me would be finish the season well on Saturday, playing first grade. So get that last game out of the way. And then I think there's very, very, very slim chances I'll be anywhere near Shield. I think my injury run over the last few years has been pretty average. So I had communicated to me early on in the season that Red Bull will probably be off the cards for a little while until I can prove that I've strung together more than a season worth of fitness. So yeah, I think it'll just be finishing off at Melville and then, yeah, supporting the boys and finishing off the season strong, getting around them, and then, yeah, just having a good few weeks underwater and diving and trying to stay out of Perth as much as possible.
Yeah, well, obviously it's been a tough year for Melville, but you must be hoping to lead where you sort of left off, and I guess you've got a pretty young group coming through at Melville at the moment, so you must be looking to finish off strong there.
Yeah, super young group. I think we've got Simon Budge debuting on the weekend too, which is going to be awesome playing alongside him. I think he's 16 even, so yeah, really young group. And then we got I reckon six boys under 21, so
yeah,
it's a super young group. I think it's going to be hard over the next few. Obviously this season hasn't been great for us, and I think next season is going to be could be a bit of a challenge as well. But yeah, I think in 3 or 4 years time, once we all get a bit more cricket and experience under our belts, we're going to be an awesome side. So I think it's just about trying to stick together and tough out this little patch and take our learnings from it, and then, yeah, just build over the next couple of years. And obviously still got Bryce Jackson, who's on a full contract, got Tom Cullen, our captain, who's played a lot of first-class cricket, then got Fraser Hay at the moment, who's been whacking them all year. So, yeah, got plenty of experience there. I think it's just, yeah, trying to get it to gel and trying to get the young boys to get some experience and get used to playing at that first-grade level.
And last round coming up?
Yeah. Correct? Yeah, last game against Mount Lawley, then we're done, which will be a nice little break after that.
Yeah, well. All right, we'll move on to the Instagram Q&As. Brian and Nathan, you've been looking forward to these. We'll start off with Riley_Harris. Were you that pumped after winning the World Cup, or just nervous to be interviewed by the great Ian Bishop when you walk straight past your Player of the Match award?
That's a good question.
Very good question.
No, I actually didn't get told to grab the medal. I thought I was going to get it after, so I walked straight. I think Nokia had the medal, which for me, I've love watching him bowl the last couple of years. I was bloody nervous to speak to him and Ian Bishop, obviously. So, yeah, I actually didn't even know I had to grab the medal. I just walked straight past it, and then Nokia was like, mate, you got to come back and grab your medal. So I was like, shit, oh, well.
Yeah, well, I'd be nervous around those likes.
Cricket's been like that recently, like with the Player of the Match stuff. Like, I've seen, must have been one of the T20 or one day series against the West Indies. Like, the players just picked it up on the way through and got interviewed. Like, no one presents it.
There was a lady that told us there to, like, walk around and shake hands along each person, but didn't tell me to grab the medal, so I just shook hands and then walked over, and then they were like, no, you got to come back and grab your medal. I was like, oops. Oh, well.
Aiden Mapstone, I think. Favourite Wesley guy says, come on, ?
Aiden, he can have that. There we go.
Dylan Swanny.
Yeah.
Who was the zestiest player in the Australian team?
If Swanee played cricket, he'd be the zestiest player by a long way. Matter of fact, he's the zestiest camper I've ever seen. Just see him camping, got his little swag. But nah, no zesty players. All the boys were unreal over there, and obviously I haven't spent a lot of time around the Australian men's squad, so I can't answer that, Swan. I'm lucky, mate.
Byron.McFarland, how many KMs on your car?
Too many now. Done. I reckon I'm close to 370 on the Lux now, so yeah, she's ticked over some serious kilometres. I think when I first got my licence, I drove an illegal amount for the first about 6 months I had my licence, so yeah, ticked over about 50,000 Ks.
She was Corey Rocchicelli.
Yeah.
Is it true you hate the short ball but spearfish with great whites?
That is true. Yeah, absolutely despise the short ball. I think just batting in general, especially at the whack and nets, I think they're pretty spicy, but I'd rather jump in the water with a bloody great white than face wasp on the wanger at the whacker.
Ned.Holic, why do you have such a bad taste in music?
Ned, that is not true, and we both know that's not true. He's just trying to bag my taste. We both used to sit in class, I reckon, year 12, in business and management. We used to do playlists together. So, Ned, your music taste is my music taste, mate. So,
which is?
Actually, very, very, very wide range of music, from rap to... We listen to bloody everything, to be honest. I was saying, we got stuck listening to Beethoven a couple of times in class, so you can listen to bloody... Chief Keef, whatever it is. I listen to everything.
Adam Cadler. Do you get lots of ladies?
Adam Calder. Wow.
Calder, sorry.
No, that's not true. I'm a cricketer. I'm not, if I was a footy player, I'd be different, Wads, but no, cricketers don't get it.
It's probably spot on, actually.
don't cut yourself short. Cam.Morgene, that is. Favourite Aquinas teammate in year seven?
In year seven.
Going back, long way in the archives.
Oh, that is a long time ago. Cam's going to want me to say him, but I'm going to go Cam and Lockie Murray, if he's listening.
Shanae.Taylor might be. Not a question, but Marley used to brag all primary school how he was good at cricket. Now look at the man. Never doubted you.
I think I went... Is that Shanoa?
Yeah, I might be.
Went to primary school with her in like year five, so... I mean, that's come a long way from Dampier primary days, but yeah.
Lucas Martin, how did you get the nickname Spider?
I don't know if that's a PG enough answer for this year, but I reckon I was like 15, 16, and got asked what I do in my spare time, and you could imagine how Spider-Man shoots his web, so yeah, that's all I can say on that topic.
Annie_912, favourite cricket stadium? Been to a few.
Like first class stadium, Optus is unreal. I think that's an incredible stadium, and obviously quick bouncy wicket, which I love. But I played in Brighton in England, was pretty cool. Down like the first ever ground I played, where it's actually like vertically downhill. I was running down the hill there, got absolutely pumped that game, which wasn't the best, but like Seaside Stadium, I think awesome outfield, and was the first time I played on a ground that was. Like there was a serious uphill and then a downhill, which was a bit of a wig out for me, threw me off a little bit. But yeah, pretty cool stadium. So I'd say probably Optus or Brighton.
What ball did you guys use in the World Cup? I'm assuming you used a Duke in the UK. Which
Duke
would have
for red ball and then white cooker in the white stuff and over there. It was just
so
white cooker.
ICC is just cooker.
Yeah, white cooker. Yeah,
okay. So how was the Duke?
Duke was interesting. I bowled with it when it was dark a lot of the time, so I actually didn't get many overs in. I played the 4 day at, I don't think where we ended up, I'd like to say Northams, I think was the last. The last one. So yeah, we got caught off a bad light a lot there, and I was still heavily restricted overs wise because my back was in shambles still, so I was only allowed to bowl 10 overs is what the whacker gave me.
Each innings or each day?
Yeah, each innings. So I only had 20 overs for the 20 overs for the match. Stiff. Yeah, but hoops, which was pretty cool. And yeah, it's a lot harder. A lot of bats broken. Like, I don't know why the Duke seems to just stay harder for longer, but yeah. I think Sam Constance went through about 5 bats over there. So
yeah, okay. This one, I'm going to say it as roaring, but it's Rory INGG. When are you going to put some time into your batting?
Actually doing a lot of batting at the moment, trying to get better. I think I'm still a little while away from being able to stick them well, but it's going to be a big pre-season, a lot of bowling machine and a lot of techers work, so hopefully can come out and start to stick them all right.
Grove Cricket, they've sorted you out well, so you've got a sponsor.
Way too good for me. Yeah, they're actually very good sticks and nice gears, so I don't know if I should be using them.
Dan.Newman, how does it feel to get choked out and tapped during a game of 9A's cricket?
Back in the day, we used to do a lot of jiu-jitsu and wrestling in between the innings breaks, and ended up somehow in a triangle choke from Dan, and didn't have to tap, but almost passed out, so we stopped in year nine. So yeah, you can have your little spotlight there.
Well, he's asked another one. What was it like opening the bowling with a great-looking man during middle school?
It wasn't him, actually. I was opening okay. with Darcy Collins, so he's a good-looking rooster, but Dan, you can stay locked away, mate.
Cooper C. Daring 9, not the first time. I think he asked a question for Josh, maybe, but favourite Bunbury cricketer?
Yeah, Coops. Yeah, he's actually the only Bunbury cricketer I remember as well, so I'm just going to say that. Just going to say Coops.
Byron.McFarland underscore. What's more valuable, the World Cup medal or your under 12 Dampier Footy League runner up best and fairest?
I reckon I'm gonna just have to go to only just the World Cup, and then I'd say it would be my back to back year 5 and 6 Dampier Sharks flags that we won, and my dad was coaching, so I reckon that makes it that much better.
Joey_Kelly learned how to wash his dishes after Albury?
Nah, so incorrect. False information. I was actually teaching Joey how to wash his dishes. I think one of the dirtier roommates I've ever been with. Nah, in Albury it was good. It was him, myself and Jake Gerrans in Albury. I think it was a pleasure to room with you, Joey, so that's a rude question, mate.
Another one. Last one that's come through from Melinda Farrell, who was over there with you in the World Cup.
Yep.
Is he a Lamborghini or an Alfa Romeo?
Romeo.
See, this is where it gets a little bit difficult because, well, I was originally a Lamborghini. Is what we all got given names as cars. So we had Tom Straker as a monster truck. We had Cow, who some other Ferrari or a Bugatti, depended on what day it was for some reason. And then... for me, it was either a Lambo or an Alfa Romeo. So we had one coach say I was a Lambo, and then another coach say I was an Alfa Romeo, because apparently they're supposed to be the quickest car. So apparently I'm quick and look good, but I'm in the workshop a lot, which was pretty rude of Anthony Clark. So if you listen to this, Clark, you somehow find out, I'm still not forgiving you for calling me an Alfa Romeo.
Run with the Lamborghini.
I'm going to say Lamborghini.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll move on to the quiz.
Oh, Lord.
It's been a little bit disappointing lately. Joel Curtis with a 9. Tommy last week with a 7.5. But then you got Hamish McKenzie, Josh Vernon, Sam Greer all on 10 so far. Out of a possible 14. So golf terms, a 10 is a par. That's what it was last year, and it still seems like
it's par. Anything to do with golf or my own stats, no. I'm in strife.
Well, you said off air that you've looked at your stats about 3 times in your life. Yeah. So.
On my cricket, I hate looking at my cricket, and I hate looking at play cricket now, unless it's other games. So, yeah, I could be in serious strife here.
Well, we'll kick it off with question number one. Not including the warm-up games, how many wickets did you take at the World Cup? Surely you got mentioned this in a speech at some point.
I'm going to 10.
Correct.
10, correct. Yep.
Good start. True or false? You didn't go for over 40 runs in any of these spells, personally. True or false?
At the World Cup?
Yeah.
True.
Correct. Most was 1 for 38.
That's not great, is it?
Off 10?
Yeah.
It's decent. Yeah. It's good.
Sri Lanka?
Yeah. I think I
remember the game. Question number three. Yeah, 2 from 2. Question number three, who was the last Australian before you to win player of the final at an under-19 World Cup?
Was it Josh Hazlewood? I saw that. I did hear someone say that. They were saying that it was I had the unlucky spell of man of the match because there was no cricketers, no professional cricketers that have gone on to do anything. And then I saw a comment on Instagram that, like, have you ever heard of Josh Hazlewood?
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, there's at least one other person there, so hopefully I don't fizzle out now.
Yes.
Three from three.
Back in 2010, that was. Number four. From the playing 11 of the World Cup final, how many Australian players hold either a state or Big Bash men's contract from the playing 11?
Dicko, Sammy Constance, myself, Hugh. See, Cow was over there, so I'm going to say 5.
Just the four.
We've got four without
Cow. Because Cow, he got contracted over there.
Okay, we'll give that to you then, because I was looking at all the squads from the previous, before the World Cup. So
it was either four or five.
Yeah, 4 including yourself.
Mm-hmm.
4 from 4.
Take that.
Handy start.
Question number 5, well, especially when you said you don't know anything. So very good start. Question number 5, How many runs did the last two have to get in the semi-final against Pakistan once you got out?
That's a good question. I'm going to say, this is a complete stab in the dark, I'm going to say 11.
16.
Was it 16? Yeah.
Oh, well, it's not horrible.
Nah.
But still.
I was crying in the change rooms, wasn't looking at the scoreboard.
Number six, how many overs were left when New South Wales beat you on Marsh Cup debut?
How many overs were left?
In the game.
There was one left on it?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Five from six.
Yeah.
Looking good. Question number seven. How many, well, we'll talk about this man before. How many runs did Moises make when you got him out in that game?
I have no idea. He dinged me a couple of times, so I had to be on a few. Got me for I'm going to say 23.
Oh, 19. Oh, good guess.
5 from 7 still.
Yep.
Number 8, in the same game, how many balls did you face yourself with the bat?
In the same game?
In the Marsh debut. Marsh Cup.
Three. Two. Was it two?
Four.
I faced four. That's good for me. I'm happy with that.
Before, I think your cast got knocked over by Ben Porsches.
Any runs?
I got one, I think. Second rock. Dropped and ran. Sprinted to the other end, came off straw.
That must be a good feeling, getting your first runs in first class career.
Didn't see it, so yeah. It's just good to get bat on ball.
Still five.
5 from 8.
That's not great, is it?
Question, well, we've got 6 points up for grabs in the last two questions. Yeah. Question number 9, did you take more wickets for WA the first time you represented them in under 15 champs or more times in under 19 champs?
Under 19, so I went the journey in under 15s, I remember that.
Correct. 5 wickets in 19s and 3 in 15s. That takes us to 6 from 9.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If you get all 5 points, you'll be at the top.
Yes.
So outright. 5 points if you get it bang on.
Oh, Lord.
And then underneath that, there's 4, 3, 2, and 1 up for grabs. According to my cricket. How many teams have you represented in your entire playing career?
And this is Australia, remember? Because this doesn't count like overseas. It would.
Would it be like an under 15s, under 19s are two separate teams?
Or it'd be like the one club?
No.
Okay,
no,
so that just falls under WA. So Australia. Does men's and juniors fall under the same as well?
Yeah.
Can you give me that? Okay, Australia. WA, Melbourne, Dampier, Wickham, played for Wickham. I don't know if Kawarama would have, they probably wouldn't have my cricket, so I'm going to say 5.
They're in there.
We'll okay, 6. Is that good?
We'll give you 4 points. You're within 3. Okay. You're within 2, actually. It was 8.
8?
Yeah, we have... West Pilbara Association.
Oh, Country Week, yeah.
Regional
yeah,
Southwest. Yeah, yeah. We have Kalmrup, Aquinas.
Oh, yeah, Aquinas too. Jesus.
So 8, but yeah. We'll give you 4 points. So that takes you to 10.
Okay.
Because you were in 2, so equal top.
Equal top. Happy with that.
There's now considering 4 of you there.
Stats.
I'm happy with that.
Melville as well. You obviously would have thought of that. Yeah. But West Pilbara Association.
Forgot about that. That's Country Week back in the day.
Yeah.
That was peak cricket.
It was. Well, of course, thanks to Skimbro Hat Locker and Cheetah Clothing. The links to their show notes will be in the show notes, with their links and discount codes. If you're listening on Spotify, Apple or YouTube, whatever, you can do either or other. Subscribe, 5-star, like.
Get into Marley's DMs.
Yeah, if you really feel like it, yeah, go for it. But Marley, can't thank you again for coming on. And
congrats on what you've achieved.
Once again.
Thank you very much, lad. Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for jumping in. And yeah, best of luck, I guess, on the weekend, the last game of the summer.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.